Good afternoon. Still not so good, huh? Sunday school teacher asked the students, "What is Lord's Prayer?" And one kid raised his hand and said, "Well, it is a sign that the church service is ending. That's what Lord's Prayer is." I want to ask you, do you know what Apostles' Creed is? What is Apostles' Creed? We recite it every time we begin worship service. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. What is it? For the next 10 Sundays, I'm going to spend just explaining what it means and what we can learn from it, and not just something that we do in the service because it's in the program, but we want to understand what it is. As I was sharing the gospel to someone on the street, I asked this question, "Are you a Christian?" And the person said, "Yes, I am. I go to church, and I'm even a deacon at that church." And I asked the next question, "Then do you have assurance of salvation?" And he kind of hesitated for a minute, and he said, "Well, I don't know. Sometimes I do have an assurance, but sometimes I don't." "When do you have assurance and when you don't?" "Well, when I am good, I feel like I have assurance of salvation. But then when I'm being bad, I feel like I lost it." It's almost saying that God appears and disappears according to circumstances. And what is even more shocking is that a lot of evangelical Christians are in the same situation, that people go to church, they say they believe in God, yet they do not have assurance of salvation. Though they say they believe, they don't know what they're believing and what that belief should result in. Well, being a Christian is not only a good way to die, but it's the best way to live. As we live this life, the minute we become Christians, the life of heaven begins here on earth. As we recite in the Lord's Prayer, "His will be done, not only in heaven, but here on earth as well," we pray. We want God's will to begin right here as we walk the Christian walk. In order for us to enjoy the benefit that God has in store, for us to walk the life of a Christian, for us to have an assurance of salvation, we need a reminder of what we believe. Depending on what we believe, we are going to behave and react to our belief. So the reason why we recite Apostles' Creed is because this creed is not something that appears in the Bible. It's not something that is written by the apostles. But throughout the Christian history, time after time, people kind of put together all the New Testament essence of what it means to be a Christian. And they compacted into this one creed, that we believe in this Trinitarian God, that we believe in the community of saints, the gathering and fellowship, and we believe in the forgiveness, and we believe in the resurrection of life and the life everlasting. We are reciting this to remind ourselves what it means to live as someone who has assurance of salvation. Just because you said, "I love you" once to a person that you really want to marry, so that you can marry that person, you don't stop there. We continue to say, "I love you" every day and every moment we can, in order to remind ourselves of what kind of relationship we have with one another. Today's passage begins Paul being in Athens. As many of you may have visited Greece, Athens, it was a very happening place, even in Paul's time, especially in Paul's time. And because it was such a busy town and a lot of people living in there, there are a lot of also idolatry going on. People built altars for all kinds of gods. They didn't have one god, they had many gods, gods for every kind. And then as Paul was walking around the town, he even saw a temple that says, "Temple of Unknown God." They didn't want to miss a god that they might have skipped a god. So they wanted to kind of cover all the bases. So they even had temple for unknown god, just in case we missed some god. Why did they do that? They were very religious people. And they wanted to just make sure that gods were on their side. And they did those kind of behaviors. When God created heavens and the earth and God created humankind, God made you and I in God's image, but as sin entered into humanity, that image of God disappeared, and there was a void in human life that only God could fulfill. Because they didn't have image of God within them, they wanted to find something in order to fulfill that void in their life. And so they began to worship all kinds of stuff. They began to worship nature. They began to worship all kinds of idolatry in order to fulfill that void that they had in their life. This was no exception for the people in Athens. So Paul, standing before the Athens, he tells them, you know, the unknown God that you think that you don't know about, I know who he is. And that God really is my God. And this God created heavens and the earth, and he gives us hope, he gives us breath, he gives us life, and he takes care of all the universe. That's the unknown God that you claim that I know. So Paul is telling them, my God is this unknown God that you claim that you don't know. And he is witnessing to them. And sometimes, you know, as we want to share about my God, we don't know what to say. Well, if you don't know, then you can recite the Apostles' Creed. You know, God, I believe in God Almighty. You can begin that way. As Paul is doing the same thing, that my God is the God who created, God who gave me life. That's what it's saying. Why is it important for us to make this kind of creed, this kind of statement of our faith? For three reasons, while we just keep on reciting this Apostles' Creed over and over again. First, it is to internally strengthen our faith. By reciting it, we know what we believe. We know what we stand for. We know who we are. And that's the very important reason in order for church to really kind of make a statement of who we are, we recite the Apostles' Creed. And second reason why we recite the creed is so that we can really be prepared for the attack that comes from outside. You see, there's a lot of noises and voices that are coming our way who claim that we have the real stuff. We have the genuine God. And we need to discern. And in order to do that, we need to know what we believe in. And Apostles' Creed allow us to kind of filter out what is right and what is wrong. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in Trinitarian God. They don't believe in Father, God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. They don't believe in that. And so by just looking at what they believe, we can truly say, well, there are no right religion. FBI, in order to train their people to recognize a counterfeit money, you know what they do? They don't take all this counterfeit money and study the counterfeit money. They study the real money. So when they know the real money, whatever is not real, then they can say this is fake. They can just confidently and quickly say that. Likewise, if we know what we believe in, when a fake comes along, we can quickly recognize that they're not right thing. And the third reason why we recite the Apostles' Creed over and over again is because we want to pass on the heritage of what we believe in to the next generation. So our children and children's children will know what we believe. We can pretty much say this pretty much kind of lays the foundation of our faith, what we believe in. When we have a strong foundation, even though there's a crack on the wall, even though there's a storm that kind of damaged the house a little bit, as long as we have a foundation that is intact, we can build upon it. But if you don't have a firm foundation, a little bit of shaking, when the foundation is cracked, then you cannot do a thing. Our family lived in Texas for some time, 4 years. And during that time, we had to water the house because they said Texas, the soil, they move. So when the soil moves, the foundation moves along and it can crack the foundation. And so they have a lot of companies that fixes the foundation. So you have to water the foundation, making sure that foundation doesn't move. Likewise, we need to keep on watering our foundation with the Apostles' Creed, really kind of recite to know what we believe in so that it will not crack. So it will not have to damage the house. So for that reason, we're going through 10 weeks of sermon series. Even the Sundays that I cannot preach here with Pastor John, we're going to be talking about the same topic. We discuss it even today in the third service right now. They're meeting in education building. Pastor Injip Kim, he has the same passage, and we talked about the points that we're going to be making. So you don't have to worry about, as I am kind of alternating here and then the education building, one Sunday after another. So don't worry about missing a series. And if you miss it, then you know you can go online and revisit it again. So the Apostles' Creed begins by our stating our belief on God. What kind of God do we believe in? And I believe in God Almighty. God Almighty. We believe our God is Almighty. The word that is used in the original language is El Shaddai. We all know the song El Shaddai. God Almighty. What does that mean? That our God can do all things. There's nothing that is impossible to him. In order to give an example of this Almighty God, in chapter 17, verse 1 of Genesis, God appears to Abraham, and this is what it says. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. God is introducing himself. I am God Almighty. He's not saying, you know, I am God who lives in, you know, next town. He's saying, I am Almighty. What did God Almighty want to do with Abraham? In chapter 18, following chapter, there's a story that comes up. Abraham is just welcoming the strangers to his tent, to his tabernacle, to his tent, and then he is just offering food and drink and all this, serving them. And it happened to be the angel of God. And that angel of God proclaims to Abraham that next year, by this time, you're going to have a child. Well, look at this. Chapter 17 of Genesis, Abraham was 99 years old. A 99-year-old man hears from the angel that they're going to have a child. And his wife was 90 years old, and they're going to have a child. And Sarah, Abraham, Mrs. Abraham, she was listening outside the tent. And when she heard that next year they're going to have a child, she laughs. She laughed. Wouldn't you laugh? I would laugh. I would think those people are wackos. They're crazy. During the other service, in Korean service, I asked, you know, 권사님들, the 70, 80-year-old, what would you do if someone came to you and said, next year you're going to have a child? Wouldn't you laugh? I would laugh, too. You know, I would laugh. Oh, you're kidding me. You know, this factory has been closed for many decades. There's nothing, you know, going on. Crazy. Why did she laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? Why would we laugh? Because we know the reality. We know our experiences. We know the biology. We know the science. We know the timeline. And we know this is something impossible to have that will happen in my life, Sarah thought. We would laugh too, because this was something that doesn't calculate. It doesn't sound right. But you know what God says? Chapter 18, verse 14 says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Would anything be hard for the Lord? God is giver of life, and if God wants to give, he will give life. Well, this is what a lot of places, you know, talks about the almightiness of God. Luke 1:37 says this, for nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. For with God, all things are possible. Job, he professes in 42 verse 2, I know that you can do all things. No plan of you can be thwarted. God can do all things. Nothing is impossible. That's what we call our God Almighty. This is crucial as you begin your statement of faith through Apostles' Creed. That I believe in Almighty God. Because if you don't believe in the almightiness of God, then what follows, you cannot believe anything. How can Jesus be born of a virgin? How can Jesus die on the cross and be resurrected on the third day? If you don't believe in the, you know, that God is, that there's nothing impossible with God, that without that, what follows, you cannot make a true statement of yours without having some kind of a guilty feeling. So it is critical that we understand we serve God who is Almighty. Did you know that your life will be as confident, as courageous as the amount of belief you have of our God being Almighty? If you think that your God is not so mighty, then you're going to behave likewise. That you're going to feel like you're going to have to take care of your own life, your own matters, without turning to God. Little kids playing outside, they can really, you know, show courage if they have trust in their fathers, aren't they? You know, I didn't have much trust in my father growing up. My father was always busy preparing sermons and doing church work. So if I got into a fight, I couldn't turn to my father. But one of my friends, who always kind of bullied everyone, And it was a bad boy, you know, come to think of it. I must have been traumatized as a child from that kid. You know, he always used to kind of show off his father. And in fact, his father showed up time to time to tell us, you know, you better be to our kid. And so he always kind of put out his father's name. You know, if you're bad, then I'm going to bring my father. And we, okay, we follow. How trusting are you of your Heavenly Father? Do you really believe your God is God Almighty? If you really believe that your God is Almighty, then you live your life not as someone who is coward, someone who is afraid every time something difficult happens, but you will have a confidence to know that Almighty Father is with me. There's a reason why young people join the gang. Well, they know that joining the gang can be dangerous, can be really bad, but why do they join the gang? Because they have confidence that these guys will protect me, that they're going to be on my side, they're going to be my gang. Human beings have a tendency to turn their heart and life toward people who have power, people who have, you know, knowledge. We turn to those people in order to get help. How trusting are you? I see so many Christians who are living their life not trusting entirely, 100% of what God can do in their life. We have trust issue with God. We trust that God, nothing is impossible, yet when we look at our lives, we don't really trust Him 100%. We have a tendency to trust certain areas of our life, but certain other areas we feel like, God, He doesn't specialize in this. Yeah, He specializes in spiritual things, but earthly things, these things, I have to take care of it. No. If we believe that our God is Almighty God, why don't we turn to Him in every area of our life? I don't know if I told this story in other context. You know, when I went to college, I really wanted to kind of find my own future spouse. I couldn't trust God because I felt like all these wonderful Christians are not so attractive. All the attractive people are the worldly girls. And so I said, God, you can take everything of my life except this area. This area, I'll take care of it, because if I turn to you, if I trust you that you're going to find someone good, you're going to find some homey woman from some southern place that don't even, you know, look like woman. So that's how I felt. And I just gave, you know, God, take everything except this area. Until I gave that up, God didn't allow for me to even go out once. It was kind of a pathetic life. Looking back, you know, just when I wanted to take care of my own things, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Maybe that was a blessing. If something happened, I would have, you know, lived, well, you know, kind of worldly life, but nothing happened. You know, people don't believe me that I never went out on a date until I met my wife. Not that I didn't want to. I tried everything. I even asked this lady to go out with me, and I told them, you can bring your friend and I'll pay for their dinner as well. But they still didn't go. It was pathetic. Yeah. I said, I believe in God Almighty, yet God, that area, I don't know. We need to give 100% of our trust if we say that we believe in Almighty God. And this Almighty God proved His almightiness by creating heavens and the earth. Through His creation, He proved Himself that He is Almighty. That by looking at all His creation, we say, wow, what a beautiful world. Louis Armstrong, he sang the song, you know, what a wonderful world. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. When we look at the nature, wow, how could He have thought all these things? That's how the psalmist, he just sings to God in chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Just impressed what God has done in the world and to humanity. It's just awed by His creation. You see, God created wonderful things. And these days, a lot of schools, in fact, not all, a lot, but almost every school teach the evolution theory, the theory of evolution. You know, once we begin to buy into the theory of evolution, we begin to we immediately discount the creation, God who created heavens and the earth. And once we kind of, you know, okay, this world evolved into what we are today, then where does God fit in? God has no place in the evolution. So, you know, we have to really kind of teach our young people what does it mean to really learn about the evolution of the world. How come if it evolved, how come it's not continuing to evolve? Why don't we see, you know, I don't want to be a descendant of monkey. I love the idea that God created me in his image, and I am continuing to restore the image that was lost because of our sinfulness. So I have hope for our young people that as the Chode Education Department, before they go off to college, that we will really educate our children that our God created heavens and the earth and all that is in it, so that when they go out and hear these theories, that it'll be just theories, not something that, oh, I believe in that. I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And here, the second statement that I like about this Apostles' Creed, that feel like this is the warmest, this is the most kind of heartwarming statement. It is very in the very beginning. In the Korean Apostles' Creed, it is in the latter part of it. But here, when we recite in English, Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Our God, who is Almighty, who have created heavens and the earth, he's our Father. You know, this passage, this statement, Father, is written in the Bible, Abba. It's in Aramaic, Abba. Abba is a statement when a little child calls, you know, his father, Appa. That's what it means. I guess it's a universal language. In Korean, we call it Appa. But in Aramaic, it's Abba. And it shows the warmth and the closeness of God and us. He is not someone who is looking for something from us to get. He loves to give. As we say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. He continues to give. And this Abba, he doesn't reject us simply because we have done wrong. When we return to him, he always welcomes us. He restores us, revives us, and makes us stand again. We have Abba Father on our side. The Bible says to care for the orphans and the widows. Why? Orphans because they have no means of survival. In the Bible time, to be a widow meant a death sentence. There was no means of making a living. So, you know, just make sure that you help them. Why orphans? Orphans, they have nobody. Orphans, when they call father, appa, no one responds. When they go out, they have no one to watch their back. They cannot go out courageously and say, my father's going to beat your dad up. They cannot say that because they don't have one. Well, they had one, but were abandoned. And I see a lot of Christians living their life like an orphan, spiritual orphan. They live with their own might, their own skill. They feel like there's no one to protect them, no one to stand for them. God says, no, I am your father. I am your appa. I'm your appa. I'll take care of you. I'll watch your back. Don't worry about it. And that is the greatest love statement that I hear from the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. If I could change the Creed the way I want to, I would like to change that statement. I believe in God, Daddy Almighty. You know, it's different when you call Father. You know, if my kid came and said, Father, how are you? And I would say, well, something wrong with this kid. You know, I would want to hear, daddy. It's such a terms of endearment. You know, daddy. In Korean, you call appa. And if you're a little formal, you say, 아버지. But if you're really formal, 아버님. If you're like, daddy's way over there, I'm over here. You know, just, okay, you speak to me, I am here. There's no intimacy in that statement. But when you say, Abba, God is saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I want to take care of you. I want to watch over you. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. I want to take care of you. So I pray that as we make this statement, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He can do all things if we belong to him, if we remain in him. I can do all things who strengthens me. And that's the kind of life that God desires for his children to live. And as we're going through this Apostles' Creed, I pray that our faith statement, this is confession of our faith, will be solidified, that we'll be assured that what we believe and what we proclaim is real, and that we will live such lives. Remember, God is watching my back. Wherever I go, whatever I do, he is with me. And this Apostles' Creed, the word that they use is credo in Latin, means I believe. And not only may this become a belief of ours, but it will become our life, that we will live according to what we believe. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being my daddy. Thank you that you are daddy who is almighty, who made heavens and the earth to prove that you are mighty. Lord, I don't want to live my life like an orphan, having to take care of my own matters with my own hands and with my own skill and with my own might. I need you. I need you more than ever, because the world and the circumstances we're facing is very dark. Lord, help us as we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.